listening to Transform Squadron, a podcast production of ZoneBase.org. ZoneBase is a site about robots, monsters, and misadventure. Every day is Halloween on ZoneBase, and as far as this podcast is concerned, it's about to be Halloween for the next 4 months. I know what you're saying. Rob, it's July. I don't care. I just don't. I just don't. The site, I have a little sneak and peek of Halloween all year, a little pook, a little spook, a little ook. But the beginning of August, things shift over to Halloween overload till the end of the season. Well, a couple of months ago, I started producing this show around the latter half of the month, around the third to the last week of the month. This is partially why. So that way we can have four whole spooky episodes starting right now. Now on the site itself, the Halloween content will start going at the beginning of August and go all the way till the end of October. 3 whole months of Halloween, y'all. And we're starting now. So I would say buckle your seatbelts and all that, but it's just a podcast. It's not like you got to hang on to the dashboard or anything. But before I get more into the spooky stuff, let me explain how that's going to work. Just in case you're new to the site or new to the show. Every day somebody's first, you know. It doesn't completely take over. It shares this space. There'll be a post with normal content. And then there'll be a Halloween post. This show here, it's about, 40 minutes long a month, once a month. I'm going to talk about regular subject matter in addition to Halloween stuff. Meaning, you're going to have a little bit of both. The site is about robots, monsters, and misadventure. Not just robots or monsters. You get it? I have to explain this because there's always that one guy's like, so hold on. What's this got to do with Optimus Prime? You know, there's always that dude. And, you know, sometimes you just got to leave people behind in the dust till they catch up. So, thanks everyone for continuing to listen. The most fun time on the site of the year, it's here. And before I get into some pumpkin spice nonsense, let me talk about, I'm following up just on a little bit of something I talked about last episode, first and foremost. I talked about the Buzz Lightyear Hyperspeed series last episode. The little cool miniature spaceships with pilots that are like Diaclone driver size. You know what I was talking about. Well, shortly after I posted last month's episode and stuff, I discovered something that completely snuck past me, and it's supposed to be launching in August. So I don't know. Some people probably have already gotten some. You know how it is. Sometimes stuff just shows up at stores early. Some people get sent, you know, freebie gift things if they're an influencer or whatever. You know how it works. I'll probably not see them till September at my stores, but whatever, as long as I get them. And that would be the Star Wars Micro Galaxy Squadron. What that is kind of along the same slice of life as the Hyperspeed series that Lightyear is doing. The same idea. Small to scale spaceships with little mini driver figures that you could put in your Transformers and have them drive around. You could put them in your Zoids and have them drive around. If you got robots with cockpits, you could probably have them drive them. Which is the kind of thing that I just love so much. You know, I spoke at length how much I love smaller size toys. Obviously, I like bigger size too. It's not just one or the other. But it's just so cool seeing stuff like this. What makes the Star Wars one so super special is it's not unprecedented. In the 90s and maybe 2000s, blanking a little on timelines here, the Star Wars Micro Machines, which I loved quite a bit and still do, they had the Action Fleet, which was a similar idea toy. You know, the regular Star Wars Micro Masters had little miniature play sets with little tiny figures and stuff like that. And it was super awesome. But the action fleet, you'd have like little vehicles that would be in scale to each other with pilots and stuff. And somebody, me, might have had Luke Skywalker driving Optimus Prime. You know, this is kind of along that idea. I think it's Jazzware is producing these in partnership with Hasbro, like a licensing deal. Or maybe just Jazzware's on their own, licensed through Disney. However it works. I am not a lawyer. I am not super interested in the legality of things. I just know it's a license deal and it's official. But how these toys are seemingly working is in price classes, you got larger, you got smaller. I think the average carded vehicle with a figure or two is like $16. That's what I saw on Amazon. There's larger things like the Millennium Falcon and such. What really gets me going is the blind packs. Now, I don't know the price point of the blind things. I don't know the total price point. I got the $16 off of Amazon. I don't know how correct that will be in a retail situation. But the blind things, seemingly, from what I can tell, come in little boxes where you get a smaller vehicle and a figure. I'm hoping it'll be under $10, but for something like, say, a chicken walker or a speeder bike or something like that and a little pilot figure, that's a lot of fun. That to me says, like, you know, that day where you just need a little something, you know, that's what that says to me. Like, swing on by Target or maybe Walgreens or something on the way home, just had a bad day, and you're like, you know, I'm just going to kind of stop, grab, see what they got in here for a minute, just kind of blow off some steam, walk around the store, you know, just walk around that store. Hey, let me grab one of these blind packs, grab a drink. I really like that Core Hydration, that brand bottled water. Grab one of those, maybe a plain old bar or something, just, you know, no problem. A little bit of fun. A little blow off steam. I could see that being a great thing. Or, you know, hey, just the weekend, you're getting some stuff. Grab a handful. You know, if you got doubles, no problem. I got a bunch of pilots. You know, I got a bunch of little guys. I could troop build. And something so small and so inexpensive, get a couple of hundred of them, throw them in an old Nike box. You know, no problem. But that looks totally rad to me. And I'm totally digging on these Buzz Lightyear Hyperspeed series still. I've gotten a few of them now. I think I'm going to a few more of them before I call it a day on the series. It's a movie tie-in line. It's not going to go forever. It just isn't. But Star Wars is seemingly that one movie tie-in line that goes on longer than the movies. So there's that. And I don't know if they're the exact same scale as each other. I have Buzz Lightyear toys. I don't have these Star Wars ones yet. However, on Instagram, which you could follow me at RoboRobSpringer, that's called a cheap plug. Some of the guys I follow who do the miniature toy things have been posting. There's these little Jeeps. I haven't been able to find this yet. Excuse me, this set yet in the Buzz Lightyear toys that are like these little Jeeps. You get like two of them and I think a driver or two. In the little pack for like $9, $12, something like that, dollars. I've been seeing several guys taking pictures of those Jeeps. I am all over the place. Little Jeeps with Lightyear figures, Diaclone drivers, and a Boba Fett. And that Boba Fett, I'm guessing by the way it looks, is one of these Micro Galaxy Squadron dudes. So I'm assuming they're all about the same size. And like I said, I don't know for myself. I haven't yet tried to put one of my Lightyear figures in a Transformer. The G1 guys I have out currently are in package, where I just have package toys sitting on a bookshelf because I think it looks cool. Most of my G1 guys are in rubber totes in storage. So I haven't tried it yet, but they do look about the right size. So I'm sure they are. They're basically Inchmen. They're cool little sci-fi Inchmen that looks like they would work perfect for this use. But, you know, stick them in a Zoid. stick them in a Diaclone, stick them in your G1 Transformers that have cockpits. You know, some other later year Transformers you can fit drivers in too. Have a ball. It looks like it's fun. Or if you're, you know, I'm thinking of when the Bumblebee movie came out, that Speed series I was all about, the Energon Igniters. They were formerly the Legion class, Legend class. I've told you guys Hasbro on their names. Originally Legend, then Legion. I think they were calling them Speed series and the Energon Igniters. I was seeing those guys being posed a lot with Diaclone drivers, and they were just the right size. I mean, some people really have exact scale on their mind when they do stuff like this, but they looked right. You know, obviously a tractor trailer is not going to be the same size as a Volkswagen Bug, but that's as close as you're getting in this size action figure. And they look really good. Like, I'd seen them little poses with like Bumblebee and Optimus helping them move crates around at the little drivers and stuff. It was cool. So that's where my mind is with these guys. And I'm sure, you know, if you're listening to the show, you probably have a similar mindset as well. So you know where I'm going with this. But that's totally 50,000 million times awesome. Now, speaking of awesome, let's get back into Halloween for a few minutes here. It is Monday, July 18th as I'm recording this. I don't know when you're hearing it. It's probably a few days from now when it goes online. You know, I'll submit this to Brian Kilby. You know, the show's a production on my site, but I publish it through his network. And he's a busy man. Right now, he's putting a side panel on the space shuttle down at NASA. And when he gets done with that, he said something about putting extension on horses. I don't know how you do that. I don't know. But he's a busy man. But when he gets to it, it'll go up. So presumably before the end of July, you'll be hearing this episode. But today was, if you're a Halloween fanatic like myself, you're very well aware of how Code Orange goes down each year. Code Orange being the hashtag us Halloween nerds use in summer when Halloween stuff first starts poking out. And we're like, hashtag Code Orange at home. At home's the big one because it always starts soon. It starts like in the middle of June. My store is just now getting planograms out, and they had a couple of things out this past week. And they had those decorations you put outside that are lighted up and stuff. They had like three of those out, and they had like the pumpkin spice and cinnamon brooms and pine cones out. I don't know exactly how it works. I think it depends on how much shelf space they get and stock in before they start really putting it out in mass. You know, I had their seasonal section, and the summer stuff is whittling down to where they're obviously getting that they're having a lot of empty shelf space. And they had the planograms taped up, and they had more last weekend. This weekend, they had some more taped up where any day now they're going to start. I saw like a couple of pumpkins on the feeder shelf. Not really Halloween pumpkins, more fall pumpkins, like that general fall decoration. So they're still getting their stuff in. And I don't know how much control the manager has over it. Like if they like want to hold off a little, if they get to make those decisions. Because, you know, when it comes to these big box retail chains, the managers kind of have to go by, this needs to be out by this date. They don't really get to say, I don't think, too much like, no, not yet or whatever. But I could totally be wrong. I've never worked at home, so I don't know how at home operates. I don't know if the manager's got to stick up their butt about putting Halloween stuff out in summer, if they get to hold off on it or what. But other stores, you know, some stores have nothing. And then some stores are like stalked. Like if you go on YouTube or Instagram or whatever and look up the at home Halloweens, stuff's, and it's not a full display yet, don't get me wrong, but they got stuff out. And it's a lot of fun, especially if you're into Halloween like I am. Probably you too. I get a lot of compliments from people saying how they love the Halloween stuff all year. Thanks for reading the site, listening to the show, by the way. But another hallmark of Code Orange is Bath and Body Works. Bath and Body Works is a store that sells, you know, lotion and soap and candles and stuff you put around the house like that that smells nice. And they're real big on seasonal things like Christmas and spring and stuff. And of course, Halloween. Now, they also have just general autumn smells because, you know, some people aren't so big into the Halloween thing. Some people just want that flannel smell. It doesn't smell anything like any flannel shirt I've ever had, but that flannel smelling candle, I'm not saying anything. I keep one too because it's nice. You know, some people just want the basic pumpkin and they're going to have it out for Thanksgiving and stuff, and that's totally cool. But they also go nuts at Halloween. Today was the official It's Out Day. Now, there's been some little sneak previews. Maybe some stores that already had some stuff, went ahead and put some out. But today was the official launch day of their Halloween stuff. So the wife and I, she went and she actually just went to work a few minutes ago. I work at night. She works at day. She took some time off to go in late today so we could go there at opening. We actually sat outside of one for 30 minutes till it opened. The one closest to us, they opened at 10. We got there at like 9:30. And we just sat in a parking lot waiting for them to open. And we spent more than we should have on Halloween stuff. But they had a great little setup. They have, they did that. And actually, they didn't have everything she was looking for. Obviously, they're getting some more in. In fact, the clerk told us they'll be getting, when they're getting another truck in this week. Because there's a couple more things she was looking for. Because this is such a big deal that they put the listings up where you can see what they have. And there's people leaking it out and stuff. So we can figure out what she wants. You know, this is more of her thing than mine, although I do enjoy going and I do enjoy some of the stuff. This is more of her thing. You know, there's like a tree candle holder she was looking for they didn't have yet that we're going to get. And she got like every year there's a new black cat. She got that. And we got some cool stuff. They always do the hand sanitizers. I always get a bottle of the Vampire Blood Red hand sanitizer. And they always have the little things to hold, the little bottles of hand sanitizers. They have like these big pumps and big bottles of it. But then you got the little perfect hand small ones that are perfect to put in your car or stick in a backpack or whatever. And they'll have these little things you can slip over to hold it. And they have, of course, ones for Halloween. And I got a black bat one to hold mine to put on the sling bag I carry with me everywhere. To put all my stuff in, like my phone stuff and obviously a bottle of hand sanitizer, face masks, stuff like that. You know, you gotta have your stuff. You know, you can't just walk out with a wallet in your pocket anymore. There's stuff you're carrying, and you know, it just throw it in your bag, you know. And I got this to put on my bag for Halloween time. I would put it on it now, but I'm being matching this year. It's about time for me to buy a new sling bag, and I know the one I'm going to buy in a week or two, and it's black. And now I have a black bat to hang off of it with a blood red thing. I'm going to be, ooh, spooky, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's me. That's how I roll. But I got me one of those, and she got a ton of those little sanitizers and a ton of little holders. They got the things you plug in a wall and plug the little scent thing in, and it'll make the house smell nice forever. You know, they sell Glade ones and all that. We buy those too, like the pumpkin spice or whatever. But these Bath and Body Works ones last forever in a day. So getting those is a big deal. Got a bunch of those. Got like a haunted house one and a pumpkin. She got one to stick in her car. That's like a ghost that lights up, stuff like that. Had a great time. Like I said, there's some more stuff we were definitely looking for. And we went from one, then drove to the next one. That was about 17 miles away. And it didn't have it either. So we still spent a fortune there too. Probably spent more than we should have, but you know what? Whatever. You can't take it with you. But we could take what we bought with us, and we bought quite a bit. It was a lot of fun. Now, normally Yankee Candle also, around the same time, unveils their Halloween line, usually about the same day. And this one we went to second, there used to be a Yankee Candle next door, and we would go do like make a day of it, you know, like stop at Starbucks, get a drink, and go wait in line because the Yankee Candle line usually goes out to the parking lot. And the Bath and Body Works one is hit or miss if they're waiting in line or just showing up. There's a couple of people there right off the bat when we got there today, but, you know, like I said, it just kind of depends on the year. Well, that Yankee Candle, unfortunately, closed down. It's actually kind of a pricey shopping center, and I guess their sales wasn't keeping up. You know, things right now, things aren't so fun economically, so I can understand some stores would be tightening their belts a little. You know, you got it. It's business. So they had to do that, unfortunately. So we didn't get to get that in. Although, if you do have a Yankee Candle, man, enjoy it. It is fun this time of year. But skidding off of the Halloween talk, I mean, it is July, and I'm starting my Halloween stuff at the end of July. So I'm keeping it a little light this month, just for the casual listeners. But man, you know, one thing that's been on my mind, and I'm sure it's been on some of you guys, it's like the 15th anniversary of the first live-action Transformers movie release. That thing came out in 2007. And I know it's a heated subject among the Transformers fan community. Always has been, probably always will be. Kind of a moot point to argue about this, if you ask me. And the reason I say that is, the things print money. You know, they just make a ton of money. That's why there's so many of them. That's why they're ongoing. You know, the one, you got 15 years of these things, and they've steadily been a money-making franchise. And the one movie that didn't make a lot, you'll see the actual term they're using is underperform. You know, people who really aren't in the know will say flop. And then you'll see the thing, they say underperform. And when they say underperform, meaning it didn't make as much as they thought it was going to make. I mean, if you look at the profits of, The Last Night that made the least out of all of them. It didn't make least, it made about as much as the first movie. It made its budget back and a profit still, just not as much as they, you know, part three and four made $1 billion each. So they were like, okay, we're going to make another $1 billion off this thing. Oh no, we didn't. We only made a few hundred million. You know, we're talking about a few hundred million on top of what we put into it. So they still made a profit. And then they put Bumblebee out a year later, and it was lower budget, around the budget of the first 07 movie, which is hitting 15 years now. And that movie had a lower budget, which is why you had less robot screen time. It made bank. And then Revenge of the Fallen made bank. And they just kept making bank. Bumblebee, lower budget. Of course, Bumblebee was in the entire movie. You know, we had plenty of robot time on movie, but you had a smaller cast. Had a better movie. It's my favorite of the bunch still. Sequel's coming out next year. You know what I'm saying? They keep going. And the only reason I'm harking on this for a minute is that, you know, studio series is ongoing, making a ton of money. They have, like, rides at Universal Studios doing really well. Like, that ride is over 10 years old and still has a very long line out the door to get into it. It's a very popular, it's a very fun ride. I don't know if listening, if you've ridden it, but it is a great ride. The recently opened Beijing Universal Studios Park has a complete Transformers land, a themed land, and it's all based after the movies. It's named Metro Base after a really obscure location from Transformers history, but still movie-based. And, you know, before I get into it just a little bit, let me nerd out a little bit about Universal. The movie ride, it's actually called Transformers The Ride 3D. It uses the same ride system as the Spider-Man ride that is in Islands of Adventure, part of Universal in Florida, and also in Japan. I think those are the only two ones. It uses the same ride system. And it's a similar layout. But that one in Beijing... Actually, no, there's also... Yeah, I'm sorry, I was brain farted there. Only two Spider-Man rides. The Transformers ride at Beijing is a whole land. And you know how I just said it uses the same system as the Spider-Man ride? Well, that Spider-Man ride came from the whole Marvel superhero island at Islands of Adventure. And you say to yourself listening, hey, I thought Disney owned Marvel. Well, they do now. This happened before Disney owned Marvel, and Universal did the whole contract game. And thanks to legalities, you know, they just kind of work with Disney on this one. It's one of those things where you're like, well, why wouldn't Disney shut them all down? It's like, well, thanks to this contract, as long as they're keeping up their end of the deal, it's probably worth, you know, not worth it for, it costs Disney more to have it shut down than just to let it run and make money off licensing. You know, if you're making money off your competition, hey, at least, you know, this, might as well work together on that thing. Well, also part of it is, Universal can't make any more Marvel. They can't, at their park in California or whatever. What's already Marvel that they have, that's it. You know, they can't make any more Marvel rides or whatever. They can update the ones they have. They can update the area they have. But they have so many characters and so much that they can work with. But they also have a very successful Hulk roller coaster, the Spider-Man ride. You know, they got all these... this successful area. And they just opened this one in Beijing with a Transformers area. It's really the Marvel area with a Transformers skin. The Devastator roller coaster is the Incredible Hulk themed into Devastator. There's a Bumblebee DJ ride. That's a, it's a teacup, spinning teacup type ride. And that is a, the Stormforce Accelerator from the Marvel Island. You know, all the rides are pretty much it's pretty much the Marvel area Transformers themed, and that works because it's a great area, and as a Transformers themed area, it totally works. And that's just me nerding out for a minute, sorry. But what I'm saying is, it's been a huge success, and it's a huge force. You know, Studio Series, people love it, you know, and not just Studio Series 86, the regular movie studios series, excuse me, is a hit. You know, it's a hit. That Demolisher, excuse me, I'm just going to take a second. My words are flowing into each other. That Devastator set was really popular. I didn't do it. I sometimes wish I would have, but just like the original Revenge of the Fallen Devastator toy, I opted for the Legend class in that. And the only regrets I have is that I didn't also get the green repaint. I'm very happy with my normal Legends Devastator. And like I said, just wish I would have got that green repaint, but it just did not work out that way. I didn't get it. I was actually broke when it came out, so I just didn't buy a $40 toy. You know, it was more important things to spend my money on at the time. But, you know, just like that full-size Devastator that came out for that, I didn't get this one. Although I could have done this one, I just decided to skip it on my own. You know, another Devastator I got from Revenge of the Fallen was the Burger King one, just because I had to have it. You know, like I said, money was a little tight when that movie came out. It wasn't that long after the Great Recession, and I was honestly having a hard time at the time. It was a hard time economically for some of us. But I definitely was all over those Burger King's kids' meals, just like I was for Dark of the Moon, even though things were definitely getting better for me by then. I definitely was all over those kids' meals because I'm a sucker for such things. And that Devastator from it was just too ridiculous not to get. But my point is, the movies are a force to be reckoned with. They are huge. And even if you don't like them, it really doesn't seem to matter. They're going on their own accord. It's almost like a franchise of its own. Like, there's like Transformers. I've always said the Transformers fan base is in phases. Like, there's areas, like even back in the day, there was like the people that are only into the fiction, the people that are into the toys, the people that are into both. You know, maybe you're a role player, maybe you like to write fan fiction, maybe you just like to take in the fiction made professionally, maybe you don't do the fan stuff, you know. And even now, you know, you got the different waves of it. You got the people who focus on, like, maybe you just like Beast Wars, maybe you just like G1, maybe you just like animated, you know, maybe you know, you got your own thing you're into, and maybe that's it. Or maybe you're into all of it. And the movies are definitely part of that. I've seen people who only like the movies. And I hear people now screaming, what? Yeah, there's just people who only like the movies. It is what it is. I like the movies. I like G1. I like Beast Wars. I like all of it. I love Transformers, every single bit of it. I'm a day one-er here and a lifelonger at this point. But I don't have to tell you that. You probably figured that out by now. But it's just, that's it. There, you know, the movie is its own part of the fan base, and things have really changed since its inception. You know, it really made, for better or for worse, depending on your viewpoint. To me, it's a better situation. You might think for worse. It really grew the fan base. It used to be a much smaller world than it is now. And what I'm talking about for all this few minutes of lead up is what it was like before the movie came out. And when I say before the movie came out, I mean right before. Guys, you know, for years, for the longest time, it was like I wouldn't say small. It's much larger than some people would give one. Some people say there's only a couple hundred or thousand of us, but that's not true. A lot of people, it's really easy to encapsulate your worldview as how things are. And you really can't do that because your worldview isn't the entire world. It's yours. So a lot of people will say, oh, the fan base was just people using Alt-Toys Transformers. Well, no, that's not it. Alt-Toys Transformers was the biggest Transformers forum at the time, but it wasn't the only one. And a lot of people just refused to use it. You know, some people, I remember when I was in college, I had the hardest time using Usenet. My college, I went to a city college, it was local, but they supplied every student with a laptop and complimentary internet access, which was revolutionary at the time, and I think probably still would be now. Especially, we're talking about, this was like the 90s, you know, this was 1997 when I started at the school. I went there for a few years. Obviously, it was a selling feature to increase the student base, because the school I went to was a community college. It had become a two-year university before I started, and as I was there, it started having four-year degrees, and now it's a full four-year, you know, degree college. Like, I started right after it was no longer junior college. It was just college and university, and that was after I started. It was a small school. It still is a small school, but it is much larger now than it was. It was a working-class family's college, and I think it still is, but that was obviously a way to get you in the door. However, with something like it wasn't free, obviously, is included in your bills, but obviously with something like that, it's not going to be perfect. And we're talking about dial-up internet, and Usenet just didn't work so well. But a lot of times I'd use stuff like Yahoo, which I still use. And then there was places like Excite. Excite's still around too, but I don't think it's as heavily used as whatever. Back in those days, you had a lot more web portals that people would use. It was a little bit of holdover from when people would stay within America Online. You know, people kind of had their portals they stuck in, and it would have like email, chat rooms, bulletin boards. Bulletin boards were kind of a precursor to what message boards are these days. Very rudimentary, you know, places to have conversations. I had so much Transformers conversation on those. That's where a lot of my Transformers conversation took place, was on Excite and Yahoo's bulletin boards and various chat rooms. And a lot of times it would be like comics and cartoons, stuff like that. And there would be the threads and the Transformers people in there. And that was where a lot of my stuff was. Or one place, I think I've talked about this before, was MSN gaming. They're used, Microsoft on their MSN whole little deal had a gaming set where it's basically games that used specifically that service for their online gaming. Well, the Beast Wars PC game, the same Beast Wars game that was on PlayStation, that would be how you played the online deathmatch, was exclusively through MSN gaming. You'd have your CD and your computer, go to that site and load up a game if there's enough people in there to have a deathmatch. Well, all those little hubs for death matches also had chat rooms. And to this day, some of the best conversations I've ever had about Beast Wars was there. you know, not just Beast Wars. That was a great hub for Transformers fan communication at the time. It's just kind of lost the time because the people who recorded a lot of time, they talk about the big sites. And, you know, look, that's why I say your worldview isn't the entire worldview. It's your worldview. But to the point was, it was a much, much smaller fan base than it was until the movies came out. And it was funny because things were growing up to that point in the early 2000s. You know, there was a big just pop culture boom with anything 80s. It just, that's when it happened. And of course, Transformers being a bigger, you know, series from the 80s, it got a lot of attention, and places like Hot Topic and all that started carrying Transformers shirts. It was now easy to get a Transformers t-shirt. While before, you had to seek one out. All you had to do was be in a mall. And, you know, someone who might not necessarily be a huge Transformers fan, they just like them. Oh, hey, cool, I'll get that Decepticon symbol t-shirt. Stuff like that. And you had the Dreamwave comic and all that. Things were going, and Armada came out and was a pretty big hit. So things had been growing up to that point. And it was like around 2003 when the whole movie was announced. And that's when the whole, it was going to happen. Don Murphy had bought the rights to produce these movies. He's the one that bought the license. And for a while there, it was just a bunch of developmental, because it takes forever to get a movie going, especially something big budget that has a toy line and all that. It's not an overnight thing. It took years to get things going. And it was just every once in a while we'd have news, and we'd be like, and most of the news was like, this is what we're thinking about. And that was it. There was nothing more concrete to, this is what we got in mind right now. And some of the stuff was clearly there to gauge interest, to see how people would react. And honestly, Don Murphy, every once in a while, was just like, you know what? F you guys. I don't care what you think. Like, he was definitely standoffish about it, which part of me is like, man, there's no reason to be rude to us. The other hand, the way some people can be, you know, I get it. I've had it with you guys, you know, the 100 of you on this message forum versus the million that will pay for this. I'm looking out for the millions. You guys will be there anyway. That was probably his mindset. But it went on like that for a while. And I remember 06, right before, the movie didn't come out till 07. But that 06, right before it came out, that's when stuff really started happening. You know, we'd start getting leaked concept drawings and stuff like that. Or the concept of Megatron came out. And he had a totally different head than what he ended up with the movie. And that's because so many people were like, that's not right. And they got a head closer to G1. Obviously, it's not G1, but a similar helmet. You know what I'm saying? Like a little closer, a more redesigned helmet to fit Megatron better. And then when it first came out, that Optimus was a long-nosed semi with flames, not the standard Optimus Prime truck. I didn't have a problem with it because I thought he looked like Laser Optimus Prime from G2. But at the time, Laser Optimus Prime was still a bit obscure to most people. So obviously that's not what a lot of people's reaction was when they saw it. There's a lot of uproar. You know, you had your people that were like, yeah, that's awesome. And then people like, not so much, you know. You know, Peter Cullen wasn't a sure thing for the voice. At the time, it was going to probably be a big name Hollywood guy to be the voice of Optimus Prime. And I was personally okay with that because at the time, Peter Cullen really didn't do Optimus anymore. Gary Chalk did. You had like, Gary Chalk had been doing it from Beast Wars, and he did Armada, Energon, Cybertron. You know, I was used to Gary Chalk. So I was like, well, Peter Cullen hadn't really done it in a while. Neil Kaplan did it in Robots in the Skies. You know, other guys had been doing Optimus Prime at that point. So I wasn't expecting Peter Cullen to come back in at all. And I remember sitting thinking, what big star would I like? And I was like, I could see Bruce Willis. And a lot of people argued with me. I'm like, oh, whatever, dude. That's just who I could see doing him. All right. It's not that big of a deal. Why are you getting mad, y'all? But I remember when Starscream, this concept drawing of Starscream got leaked out. And it was just a pencil sketch. you know, where they're dreaming up how things should look and all, and they're just really sketching, you're doing these little mock-up ideas. And here comes, and you got in your mind, yeah, Starscream. And in your mind, yeah, Jet. You know what Starscream looks like. Even when they get experimental with Starscream, he still looks like Starscream. That did not look like Starscream. And once again, I like when they get creative with the thing. So I was like, oh, okay, that's different. And a friend of mine and I were talking because he had more bird-like legs. And a lot of people were really angry about this. And I was like, no, I get it. They're aliens. They're making them look like aliens. And he was like, yeah, yeah, because he's a jet. Obviously, he's going to run a little bit and take off flying. It'll be like a bird. They kind of, the way they run. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That's different. And of course, a lot of people, that's not G1. It's like, where did you come from? Some of these guys just kind of came out of the woodwork. Yeah, the G1 guys kind of come out of the woodwork sometimes. Yeah, you got the ones that are always around. And then you'll have this guy like, who are you? And for the record, I'm not shaming anyone like that. I'm just laughing. It would be like the world was getting bigger around us. And we were like, who are all these guys? You know, these people were coming out of the woodwork. But it was really neat. Like, there's a small amount of us that was slowly getting bigger. And at this point, FunPub was new into BotCon. You know, BotCon had been going on for 10 years at this point. And when I talk a couple episodes about the old days of BotCon, that's what I'm talking about. The old days of BotCon, when this was a completely different world. And, you know, 3H had been running it till 02. 02 was the last 3H BotCon. And then 3H had it split up. And Glenn did OTFCC, where he had gotten that official license. But the Hartman brothers, when they left, took the BotCon name with them. So the official club and convention was just called Official Transformers Collectors Club. Official Transformers Collectors Con. Convention. And the Hartmans threw an unofficial BotCon in 04. That was just BotCon that wasn't officially recognized. And, you know, things didn't work out so well for 3H running those OTFCCs. And they got the license pulled from them shortly after the 04 convention. And then not long after, it got announced that Fun Publications, who had been running the official G.I. Joe convention, was going to take over. And there's people that were happy about that, people that weren't happy about it. Personally, me was just kind of tired of all the convention drama going on at the time. It was just like, okay, whatever, I'm just going on vacation. I just want to have fun. Yeah, so I was just like putting it all behind me. And that first BotCon in 05 was kind of small. You know, those BotCons and OTFCCs were maybe, what, 2,000 people at most? They were smaller affairs. And I say at most as in Saturday. You know, Friday and Sunday, it was a couple hundred people. You know, maybe not even quite 1,000. You know, I think there's a lot of people there, but it was a smaller affair. There was just a couple exclusives, and they were generally affordable. You know, there's different events. And it was a thing where it was very common to organize your own events. Like, there's the official convention schedule, and then clubs and websites and fan groups and all that would have their own things. Like, I remember walking out, I think it was 01, walking outside to get some air, and there are people having a LARP. And LARPing is totally not my deal. You know, I've made my jokes about it in the past, but in all reality, if that's for you, no problem. You know, have fun with your stuff, be you. But I was just like, what is this? What did I just walk into? And I turned around and went back inside. Like, okay, that guy's pretending to shoot lasers out of his arm. And that guy just died. Okay, I'm out. Later. Y'all have fun. But I remember a website I helped out with for a while. We were organizing our own little events between us and our site users. You know, that's just how it was. It was his own thing. And then when FunPub ran their first one in 2005, well, first off, it was in fall. Usually BotCon was in summer, so not as many people could come because FunPub just did things FunPub was going to do it, and they had the mindset of, if you're coming, you're going to come no matter when it is. And be honest with you, they were right. You kind of came if you were going to anyway. You know, you might not be able to come, but you probably weren't going to be able to if you weren't going to be able to come. But, you know, 05 was relatively small. And I was a little forgiving of some of the stuff because it was obviously a learning year, but I had a good time. And then following it in 06, man, they hit that ground running. They did that first Beast Wars set. It was the 10th anniversary of Beast Wars. They had, be quite honest with you guys, it was, aside from the enormous box set that I bought, Aside from the, you know, enormous amount of exclusives they sell each year, it kind of felt like being at a normal BotCon for me. So I didn't really give it any of mind. Like, yeah, just new guys running the thing. I just get used to it, and it costs more now, but whatever, it is what it is. And then remember how I said things change? Like, things changed. As 06 turned to 07, man, that movie was like slowly growing. It was like novelization and like commercials, and like Bumblebee was on a Mountain Dew bottle. Like, what is this? They got Bumblebee back? Because for the longest, you didn't have Bumblebee. That Bumble Classics, which came out in 2006, was like the first time we saw Bumblebee since Generation 2. Like, obviously, Sparkplug and Armada was clearly Bumblebee, but he was Sparkplug. They didn't have his name anymore. Whoa, Bumblebee's back? Well, Bumblebee's everywhere, you know. And he's a Camaro. Yeah, whatever. But, like, it was just growing. It kept getting bigger and bigger. Like, it was just everywhere you look, Transformers here, Transformers there. I went to see Pirates of the Caribbean 2, and there was a trailer for Transformers. And the thing is, I knew this movie was coming, but part of me didn't think it was going to be as big as it was. Like, I just didn't. Never even occurred to me. I just thought it was just going to be a movie. It came out and made some money and went away, you know? No, it was like something big was coming, and they were making sure the world knew about it. And it came. And so I send in my pre-registration for BotCon 07. And in those days, you could either fax it in or send a letter. People like to pick on FunPub about the faxes, but we'd been faxing all this time, so it was either you faxed it in or mailed it in. I mean, that was normal. They just went a very long time with it because it just, and there was a point where, like, man, who has a fax machine anymore? But they did. They did go a little long, too long with that crap, but whatever. So it got to that point where, you know, people were mailing in. And the next thing you know, this was the very first time I think I ever heard about this. They ran out of exclusives during pre-order. Like, pre-orders had actually sold out of exclusive box sets. And this is when it was like, wait, what? What? This never happens. There's always leftovers. If you didn't want to pre-order it, you could buy it at the show. Not so much. Like, I had bought mine just in time, like the following week or so after I got my confirmation that my stuff was processed, they were out. What? What? Really? That doesn't happen. That does not happen. And they were saying, we actually have leftovers of the 05 and I think 06 sets that they were giving people in that place. What? What is this? Whatever, I guess. And then I remember at the time I worked at this cabinet company, and often they'd send me in their box truck to go to suppliers to pick up cabinets. And I was going up to one to pick up an order of a couple of kitchens worth of cabinets to bring back to work. And I stopped at a Burger King to eat, and I was noticing the kids' meal display with all the movie toys. And there's all these people like, yeah, that looks good. That movie's going to be good. And I'm like, I was used to being kind of the weird person for liking Transformers. Like, you just didn't always bring it up in public because people are like, oh, like the car turned into a robot, man. That's for kids. No, it wasn't like that anymore. It was like, it was mainstream. I still, to this day, 15 years later, I don't know what it is to say I'm into Transformers and people look at me like, oh, yeah, yeah, they're cool. Because I'm so used to people looking at me like I'm some mutant from the swamp. You know, like, what? And I'm talking about at, like, toy shows. Like, now, if you go to a local toy convention, oh, you're in a Transformers, cool. Yeah, we got some of those. You go to that little toy convention on the weekend local, then they probably didn't have it. Some guy might have a couple, and they'll just look at you like, oh, those? Like, you're just kind of oddity in the nerd world. And this movie comes out, and well, that was over. And I think the moment that it really hit me that things were changing was at BotCon. My friend and I, we rode an Amtrak train all the way to Rhode Island, where it was going to be that year. 24 hours on an Amtrak train. We really wished by the time we got there that we would have bought the bed. You can get, when you take these train rides, you can, if you buy your ticket ahead of time, and you can request a room where you got like your own little room with a bed and bathroom and stuff. And we thought we'd be fine sitting in the seats. We really regretted that idea, and it was too late to upgrade our seats when we got there. But, you know, we had 24 hours there, 24 hours back on a train car sitting next to each other, just farting and listening to iPods. It was like, man, I'm tired of sitting next to you, man. Me too. I love you. Love you. But we got there, and we got off at the train station, and our hotel had shuttle service. We didn't stay at the Con Hotel. We stayed one just a couple of miles away from it. We ordered the shuttle to come get us. We called them, and we're waiting, and, you know, it comes, and, you know, it's just a van. And they always say shuttle. It's just a van. And you get in there, and we're riding, and instead of going up the streets of the city, the guy gets up on the interstate to take the off-ramp or whatever. It's not like we know where we're going, so it might have been the quicker route. And as we're driving, we're seeing all the buildings and all that from the city. We're kind of looking because, you know, it's cool. And there's just this building in the city with a tall banner. And when I'm saying tall, I don't mean like a few feet. I don't mean 20 feet. I mean a banner going from almost the top of the building all the way down. This very tall building advertising BotCon. I was like, I wish I would have took a picture of it, but that year I didn't bring a camera with me. I don't always take pictures at these cons. And I didn't think to get out my little flip phone and snap a picture or anything. I was just looking at it like kind of in disbelief. And my friend that went with me, he was more of a casual fan. And this was during one of his more spending time with Transformers periods that he went. I guess when this thing getting huger, he was a little more interested than he was prior. Got back in it was a little in and out of waves. And he looked at us, what's so big deal? I was like, you see that? He goes, yeah, that's cool. And I'm like, usually we didn't even get more than a Xerox sign stapled to the side of a phone pole in the city. That was it. And here's this giant sign as big as a building. There's BotCon this weekend. And you know, some guy like, what's BotCon? Oh, Transformers. Oh yeah, that movie. And we got there. And before, you know, you check in pre-reg, you get in line to pick up your exclusives, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And then when FunPub came in, it was more along the same. Check in, go get your stuff, 30, 40 minutes. You know, they had bigger sets and more stuff they were selling, but it still wasn't really that big of a deal. And then we go check into pre-reg, get in the other line to pick up our exclusives. We need to come back the next. It took us like almost 2 days to get our exclusives. They said, don't worry, they haven't, you'll get yours that you bought. Now, at one point I remember saying, dude, this is getting ridiculous. Can I get my stuff that I bought? Because I was tired of having to get out of line and get in another line hours later. Like, we're cutting this off and we'll come back in a couple hours to eat lunch. No, we're not going anywhere. I bought this stuff a couple of months ago. Give me my property. I remember actually my friends I was in line with going to get lunch, and I kept our place and they brought me back a Subway sandwich. And there's just so many people. And like, they had this preview event the Friday before the movie, where if you bought the tickets ahead of time, it was a sneak preview of Transformers movie before the preview. And when you got there, there's all these signs that Paramount was filming for extras for the DVDs. Like if you watch the 07 movies DVD release, they have in the exclusives, the extras. Yeah, they filmed the fan community from that convention that weekend. And there's a scene where Rubble Wang and my friend, his name's Chris, he's got red hair and glasses, where they're right there on camera. Rubble Wang's talking to him and Chris is off to the side smiling. I'm behind him because I was eating a sandwich. They didn't want me on camera because I was eating. I was like, I don't care, I'm hungry. I've been in line for all day. I paid to do this, you know. That was the first time we had these lines. I'm still mad about it. It's 15 years ago. But things changed. You know, we're at this movie theater. And I'm thinking when I bought this ticket in like March, that like we'd have like a single theater or two in the theater rented out. No, we had the entire theater for just this convention. And they were like walking around Tyrese and I forgot her name, the blonde girl from the movie who's like a computer expert. They were walking them around, introducing them to the crowd before the movie started. And it was a packed house. Like, who are, what the crap? Like, those theaters were more than people than I were used to at this thing. And now there's like, who are all these people? Thanks for, I mean, it was cool. Because you're like, man, now I'm just not the freak show anymore. It's like almost mainstream. And it was. And it still is. It's still almost mainstream now. I say almost because, you know, it's just at that level. You know, it's not Star Wars where it's like, hey, I'm a nerd. I'm into Star Wars. Like, Star Wars is the most popular thing on the planet. Everyone likes Star Wars. That doesn't make you weird, you know? And I'm not being gatekeeper either when I say that. I'm just saying, like, there's just that, it's just under that surface of mainstream. You know what I mean? And we're at that level where it's like, man, you go to Universal Studios and there's a bunch of people in that gift shop buying Transformers toys. And it just wasn't like that before. And that's so awesome. You know, that is so awesome to me. Not as awesome to some people. I think some people preferred it when it was smaller. Sometimes I do, not to be gatekeeper or whatever, just because, man, the view was different too. Like, you see people to this day still arguing third party versus official, that kind of thing. Yeah. We didn't have those arguments. Third party wasn't really much of an issue. We had like garage kits and add-on kits, and no one was really, there's no conversation. You know, it's just either you picked up that weapon pack or you didn't. And like, it just, everything changed. It got bigger. It got so much bigger. You know, it's really hard to explain how much bigger, like how just the common still. And it's so cool. And that all started 15 years ago. And it's funny because 04 was the 20th anniversary of Transformers. And then in 06, the movie came out. So we had 20 years of the old world of Transformers fandom. You know, it was the 10th, 04 was the 10th anniversary of BotCon, the 20th anniversary of Transformers. BotCon actually started up to honor the 10th anniversary of Transformers. That was the initial idea to start BotCon. 22 years later, after we were all used to this world we lived in, it got bigger. And 15 years later, it's still pretty dang big, you know. Whoa. And I think, I don't know if I really had much of a point going on like I did. And like I said, the Transformers and nerd stuff overshadowed the Halloween stuff because it's still July. Not going in super whole hog. However, next month's episode, there will be more Halloween content. I'd say it'd be about 50-50. So please come back then. But I'm going to close it off for this month. I just want to say a thanks to each and every one of you for listening. And I hope all of you got my meaning. I'm just saying that because some of the jokes I was making, part of me now is hoping I didn't come off gatekeepery or like, who are you people? I was joking, you know. Because it's totally awesome to see it get bigger. Man, you love something. It's awesome to have a fan base. You can openly walk into it because it wasn't always that way. It used to be a lot harder to enjoy your hobbies with other people, even on the internet. So that being said, thanks each and every one of you for listening. My name's Rob. You can find me at zonebase.org, which is the site that this podcast hails from. And there's links to my social media there. I'm not going to list them all here. You know, it's Twitter, Instagram, and a TikTok that I use sometimes and sometimes don't. You can find me on different groups and social media. I don't plug my Facebook because that's my personal stuff. although if I think you're cool, I'll probably add you anyway. This show, Transform Squadron, the podcast is zonebase.org. It's published through tfradio.net. You can check that out for shows and showtimes, which you probably already know because Radio Free Cybertron is a much bigger and more popular podcast. And Brian Kilby, the very busy owner and proprietor of that site, would probably really appreciate it if you checked out the various ways to support the network on that site. So thanks everyone for listening. I'll be back next time. We're getting ready for Halloween, guys. Later.
Thank you.